servants of God, all the ushers helping us out. Wonderful. Thank you, greeters, kids ministry. Man, we couldn't have church right now with all the things that are upon us without you and helping me organize and get this all done. I appreciate it. Thank you for keeping people safe and allowing people to worship freely. It's awesome. It's good to see you in the house of God today. You happy to be in the house of God? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. My name is Pastor Harris, like I said in the beginning if you weren't here. And I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. But I'm waiting for my fathers to walk out here. I'm going to do something. You guys can just walk out if you want right here. I want you to stand in just a moment. If you're a father in here today, I want to say Happy Father's Day to you. But will you stand as well and keep standing? Stand up, fathers. Amen. You know, a lot of churches don't have this many fathers in their house. You know, it's awesome too. Not a lot of fathers aren't necessarily involved either. I want to say that Pastor Cody, he's up there. Him and me, after service, we're going to give you a gift. We got something for you, and we got a piece of paper as well to give you as you go out. So see us out there. We'll be wearing masks and gloves, handing you some stuff as you walk out. But I want to do something right now. I want to honor and pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray a blessing over your life, right? Last night I said, I want to pray a blessing, and then like five fathers then stood. I'm like, okay, what? Now you want it, right? But thank you. Thank you for standing from the very beginning when I asked, hallelujah. But I want to pray a blessing over you. And I want to just lift you up right now. If you're not a father, will you extend your hands to a father right now in this congregation? If you're watching at home and you're in a room or something, there's a father that's standing, go ahead and extend your hands to them as well. I just want to pray over you right now. Father in heaven, we thank you. Hallowed be your name. I pray that your kingdom comes and your will be done. And I pray it be upon these fathers in this room right now, these men of God. I pray for a blessing over them. I know this world has said a lot of things and has tried to clip them and take them out and let them know that they don't have a purpose and that who they are and how they've been designed in some way has been wrong. But your word reminds us of who we are. We're men of God that stand in the gap for our wives and our families. And I lift these men up to you right now, and I ask that you anoint them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet to be full of boldness and strength like never before. Give them a double portion of what you've called them to. I pray in this day, in this hour, we need men of God to step up, speak out, and do something. I pray that right now that this just not be another service or never another hour, another Sunday. But this be the hour that they're reminded of who they are and whose they are and their rightful place in this world. I pray against their insecurities and their man pride. May you break it and show them the greatest man to ever walk this earth. His name was Jesus. And he was a man's man. And look to him and not to the TV or movies to see what a man looks like. Look to the Bible, look to the word, look to the written and the living word and what you should be and how you should act. And I pray right now, God, that these men will be protected and they will be strong when they are weak. In Jesus' mighty and glorious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, fathers. Amen. And that didn't sound like a Pentecostal clap. That's really, I mean, what are we golfing in here? Good shot, yeah. Come on now. Thank you, fathers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to week three, the Unmasked series. Today's sermon I've titled Fatherhood. This month's theme is unmasked. And here's the definition of unmasked. Quote, to expose the truth and true character, end quote. Fathers, men of God, take some notes today. Y'all going to want to take notes. I know it's probably not normal what you do, but today's not going to be a normal day. This word is for you, directly for you. It's one thing to listen to it and walk out, but you might remember one, two things, but it's a whole other ballgame when you write down what God is speaking to your heart right now in the midst of what is being spoken. And wives, yeah, this is a time that you don't write the notes for them, okay? I know y'all used to it. They can write, right? Help them spell some things. Just help them out. See, this month, we're going to be hitting sin and evil head on and exposing it to the light of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 says this: have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Come on now. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Everything dark becomes a light when Jesus comes. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Recent studies show that 90% of murders are committed by men. 88% of robberies are committed by men. 75% of all arrests are male suspects. Sadly, studies show that most of these men also grew up in a fatherless home. This distinction holds true throughout history, for all societies, for all groups, and for nearly every crime category. Research shows and continues to show when a child grows up in a fatherless home, he or she is 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, more likely to go to prison, 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times more likely to suffer from obesity, more likely to face abuse and neglect, and 7 times more likely to get pregnant as a teenager. Our world is in desperation. We are desperate for better men. We are desperate for better fathers. Here's the problem. Most men are in a state of confusion. Men don't know how to effectively deal with things in life, many things in life. So what do? They stuff it. They ignore it. They don't talk about it. And many times, men, we don't ever deal with it. Men are experiencing and carrying around great pain, if you admit it or not. Deep pains from childhood, past loves, abuse, injustice, jobs, and families. And it cripples them. And they feel like they no longer have a noble calling. They no longer have a cause in life. And without a clear calling or a clear noble cause, men turn to other things to fulfill them. They got to do something to escape the pain. I got to do something to escape this reality that I'm in. Many men lack confidence going from boyhood into manhood. And when the time comes, they have no clue how to walk into fatherhood. Flat out, they just don't understand what a man should look like. They don't know how a man should act. So here's the byproduct of that. They have a life that's reduced to boyish behaviors. Many men ask themselves this: when did life go from fun activities into adult responsibility? I think it's when Toys R Us died. Because I never want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid, but no longer. Toys R Us, miss you. But why does this, for real, why does this thing keep happening to men? Think real quick with me. In the world we live in right now, is there a clear definition in how a man should act or how a man should be? Or what a great father looks like, or what a great father should act like? See, we see lots of bad examples. right? Our sitcoms that we watch are circled around it. But where can we find guidelines to be a good man? Where can we find guidelines to be a good father? See, without a compelling, irrefutable, inspiring, invoking vision for manhood, men will simply settle for less in life. And if something doesn't change, men will continue to be spineless and lifeless in life. Y'all feeling good right now, huh? Man, man pride just, woo, whole nother level right now. Now, this is reality. This is reality. I don't know about you, men of God, but I'm tired of seeing a generation after a generation after a generation of men who've been neutralized, disarmed, weak, and confused. Men should be living life in the way that God wired them to live. Men should lead. Men should initiate. Men should make a difference. And men should add value to everything that they do. In our world today, we are missing something that we are in great need of. Healthy, strong, effective men of God. Can I get an amen? Amen means I agree. I agree. So let's start with this. Let's unmask manhood for a moment, okay? You don't have to be a father for this one. If you're a man, right? If you're a man in here today, we're going to unmask manhood. Men were created by God to be like God. So we were created in his image. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So to be like God means we are created to lead. We are created to create. We are created to cultivate, to raise, to grow, to develop, and to nurture. We can glean from the Bible in how a man should act, and how a man should talk, and how a man should love, and how a man should conquer, and how a man should serve, and how a man should lead, and what a man looks like. See, God created men to be social and spiritual leaders. Genesis 1:28 said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. To subdue or to rule means to take control. It does not mean to abuse. It means that men were created to take responsibility. We're called to own it. Come on, men. Can I get a Man, that was, somebody had to redo that. There you go. See, like God, men are called to initiate, and then we're called to follow through with what we started. We got too many sperm donors up in here in this world. Amen? So if you created a family, then create and cultivate a grace-filled atmosphere that your wife and your children can thrive in. If you created a business or a career, create and cultivate that career with the talents and integrity God gave you. Follow through, work hard, use wisdom, use your heart, use your morality, lead by grace, and see things produce. So men, here are 4 points of biblical manhood. 4 points of biblical manhood. I got these out of the 33, the series that we did in men's small group. You might remember it on Wednesday nights. But this was a while ago when we did this, and it keeps coming up as their theme. It's fantastic. Number one is this. 4 points to biblical manhood. See, I don't know about you men, but I like things simple. I like them plain. I like them right in my face. I want point one, and I want the answer, right? So I did that for you today. You're welcome. Number one, you're welcome. Reject passivity. Reject passivity. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Here it is. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. See, Adam was passive. The serpent tempted Eve, then Eve ate the fruit, and Adam just stood there and let it happen. He knew what was right and he knew what was wrong. Do you remember, before Eve was created, God told Adam right and wrong. And that was his job to pass that down to his wife. But Adam was passive. He didn't protect. He didn't initiate. And he didn't stand up for the woman he was called to love. He did what most men do in life right now. He just stood there. Ever since this moment, men have been living in Adam's shadow of being passive. See, men all over the globe sadly don't get involved with their family like they should. And they do not lead like fathers. There's injustice. There's racism. There's poverty. There's a lot of stuff going on in America right now. But what do most men do? They just stand there. We have churches everywhere longing for strong leaders to step up and redeem their purpose and position in a community. And what do most men do? They just stand there. Why? Because they chose to live in the shadow of Adam. But Jesus, he rejected passivity. Jesus coming to earth showed more of how to be a man when he was in the manger than Adam ever did in his whole life. Jesus, as a baby, showed self-sacrifice, humility by coming to redeem, and incredible obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9 tell us this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, Jesus. See, Adam just stood there. But Jesus initiated, cultivated, and he rejected passivity. Number two, the second principle of biblical manhood is this: accept responsibility. Accept responsibility. There are three responsibilities God gives us, men, that Jesus not only did, but he followed through and he gives us the example. The first one is a will to obey. Adam chose, along with Eve, to do whatever they wanted to do instead of following God. They thought their way was going to be better than God's way, so they just did what they wanted. But Jesus said in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." The desire of Jesus' heart was to do the will of God over his own will. "Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it." Right? If Jesus, I don't want to take that beating. I don't want to take the three nails. I don't want to do that, but that's not why I was sent. I was sent to do your will, not my will. So may your will be done and not mine. Second responsibility God gave us that Jesus shows us and gives us an example is to accept the work to do. See, Jesus did this while he was on earth. John 17:4. "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And the third responsibility God gave us, men, is a woman to love. Now, Jesus never married a woman, okay? If you hear anything like that, that's called heresy. Jesus never married a woman, but to Jesus, who is his bride? Very, very good. Last night they got it right too. Hallelujah. His bride is the church. Ephesians 5:25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Just like we're called to do and follow Jesus' example, we're called to die to self, to give our lives willingly, to be self-sacrificing to our wives. We're to provide for her needs over our own needs until the day it is finished, till the day unto death. Here's the third definition of biblical manhood. It is to lead courageously. Lead courageously. Adam failed to lead in the garden. He abandoned his post of leadership. He let Eve take on the serpent all by herself while he just watched. But men were created to lead. Jesus gave direction for others. He told the disciples to what? Come and follow me. He didn't force them to do that. The disciples wanted to follow him. Why? Because they loved him, they respected him, and they trusted him. Don't forget, men, fathers, sons, brothers, uncles, cousins, whoever you are right now, the whole world was changed by 12 men who followed the Son of God. We need to get into our position. We need to get into a position, men, in our lives that we say, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's the fourth and the last definition of biblical manhood. It is invest eternally. Invest eternally. Adam invested in temporary things in life. He chose to do what would satisfy him in the moment. Man, that fruit looks good. My wife ate some. Why not? I think I'm going to eat some. That sounds like a great idea. But Jesus invested eternally. Jesus was always in the moment, but he was also looking beyond the moment as well. See, that's an eternal perspective. It's not about what looks good now, what satisfies me now. It's what is the best for always. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy or thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. While on this earth, Jesus showed us what is most important. It's not about the next big break or climbing that corporate ladder. It's about serving others. It's about seeing a harvest. It's about healing the sick. It's about preaching the gospel. It's about being life-giving in all that you do and say. So these four things unmask biblical manhood. Number one is this: reject passivity, accept responsibility, lead courageously, and invest eternally. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to go to unmasking biblical fatherhood. Y'all ready? Daddies, you ready? What? Yep. I love when guys yell out, it's just real short. It sounds like we're in an auction. Yep. I mean, they have those weird things, right? Yeah. All right. So, unmasking biblical fatherhood. There's five biblical foundational truths of fatherhood. We'll go through them quickly. Number one. Five biblical foundational truths of fatherhood. Number one, family and children. That was God's idea. Psalm 127:3-5. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they're a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful it is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Number two, fatherhood is a God-given commission. Fathers are commanded to train up and discipline their children. It is not a woman's job only to raise the children. If you think that's true, show me in the Bible. That's so American of you. Seriously, think about it. That's a woman's job. Man, last time I checked, she was your partner. I don't know when you thought that your kids didn't need their daddy. I don't know when you thought that you could just stand there. Fathers are commanded to train up and discipline their children. Proverbs 22:6. Direct your children unto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Here's another one. Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. Now, can I get an amen if you got some pow-pows when you were a kid? Come on. Amen. I got some pow-pows. That's what we call it. We always do three, no more, no less. Pow-pows. You're like, what? I just talked to my kids. Well, the Bible says you spoil the child if you spare the rod. Now, you don't beat the kids. That's called abuse. But if my kid's going to run into that street and get hit by a car, I'm not going to be like, no, stop, stop, stop. No, get back here. Don't you know what you were going to do? See, what does God do? He disciplines those he loves. Anybody got a Holy Ghost pow-pow in here before? That was hurt. I mean, they just go right past the buns, right into your soul. Oh! Hallelujah. Pow-pow. See, fathers, God has not called us to raise safe kids. He's called us to raise strong ones in the Lord. The third foundational truth of fatherhood is this. Fatherhood takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. Authentic men will reject the cultural norm of being a detached dad. I'm just going to sit on the couch. I'm going to drink my beer. I'm going to watch TV. I brought home the bacon. Now the woman takes care of it, right? Where's my sandwich? Right? We laugh, but that's all the shows that you watch. And then you wonder what your kids are seeing and realizing. Authentic men will reject the cultural norm of being a detached dad. You know what I love about Old Testament dads? I just thought of this. It must be from the Spirit. If there was a son in the house, what would happen with that son and that dad? Every single day, would he spend time with his mom? Or would he spend time with his dad? His dad. And then his dad taught him everything he knew. How to be, depends what their job was. If he was a farmer, right? If he was a hunter. If he owned a bunch of sheep or cattle or whatever it was. Come and let me teach you. Let me tell you how God provides. Let me show you. Let me teach you everything that I know. They didn't get detached. They just stay home with mama. Turn on the TV. I don't want to talk to you. I got work to do. When I get home, I just want to eat. I'm tired. I'm tired in the day. I'm tired. I worked hard. Where's my time? Man, once you know Jesus, where is your time? Come on now. You don't ever have just your time. It's for the glory of God, not for your own preferences. Authentic men will accept the responsibility of this sacred commission of being a father. Authentic men will lead their families courageously, regardless of the setbacks and regardless of confusion. Number four, wise fathers focus on the heart. Wise fathers focus on the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And Luke 6:45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows out from what is in your heart. Number five, lastly this. Wise fathers are grace dependent. Wise fathers, Biblical foundational truth of fatherhood: you must be grace dependent. Number five, authentic men recognize that their own brokenness is there, and they understand that they need forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, For everyone has sinned. For we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And the back half of Luke 7:47 says, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. I want us to park here as we start to close. And I want us to take a look at parenting with grace. How do we parent with grace? See, if you have high control and low grace, and that's how you parent, what happens is you use your leverage and your strength of your personality against your children's weaknesses so you can get your selfish agenda done. A fear-based, rules-only fatherhood is the surest way to create intimidated kids. Oh, daddy's coming home! Kids gotta go and hide. Can you imagine if that was your relationship with our Father in heaven? Oh, we're going to church, I gotta hide. Daddy gonna beat me or hurt me or yell at me. I never do anything right. See, fathers, we've fallen into the trap of believing that our calling is to enforce law, when in fact God has chosen for us to restore awe. Your job, Father, is to lead your kids to our Heavenly Father. And to, the thing I love about kids, man, I have two kids. We have two kids. I say this to my wife a lot. I love looking in their eyes. Their innocence and their awe and wonder of all these wonderful things. Something happens and they just light up and they're just like, wow. And it's so pure and it's so precious. Don't let that die out. And most of all, don't let you be the one that lets it die out. Lead them to our Father. Teach them the awe and love and wonder of our Creator. See, rules that are not tempered by grace, they block relationships with our children and it leads them to rebellion. But then on the other side, relationships without rules also doesn't result in grace either. To have a grace-based family, you have to have four basic things. You have to have this: freedom to be different. If you expect your kids to constantly be the same as you, they'll never be who they are called to be. Freedom to be different, freedom to be vulnerable, freedom to be candid, and freedom to make mistakes. Does God expect you to be perfect? Then why do you expect your kids to be perfect? If we don't have these things in our home, you're not going to have an environment of grace for your kids to grow in. But in order to parent with grace, dads, will you look at me? That's for us, in order for us to parent with grace, we must first receive God's grace for ourselves. You can no longer just stand there. Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly into the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace that helps us when we need it most. I love the word 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth word in that verse. What's that word? And y'all said that so weak, boldly. I'm so excited. Come on now, what's that fifth word? Boldly. Come on now, boldly. You don't tiptoe your way to Jesus. You don't tiptoe to the throne. You come boldly. Y'all can parent boldly too if it's done in God's grace. Grace does not lower the standards in our homes. It raises them. Dads, Every child has three inner needs. Three inner needs. Every child has these three inner needs. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. This is what they have. They have a need for secure love. They have a need for significant purpose. And they have a need for strong hope. Fathers, when your children feel secure, they will know love. Fathers, when your children feel significant, they will gain purpose. Fathers, when your children feel strong, they will understand hope. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And the NIV says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Brent, will you come, please? Dads, lead your family today. By following Jesus on the keyboard. Hallelujah. I don't think you heard me. I lost y'all because everybody's looking at Brent when I said, Brent, please come. And y'all just like, psst. Brent! Oh, I'm thankful for Brent. You know, Brent and I have been serving together. My wife and I have been here almost 7 years. We've served together in this role. It was youth ministry at first for almost 7 years. So, man, I've seen him grow incredible. God has been growing us together. It's wonderful. So thankful for him and his leadership. Dads, Daddy-O, whatever your name is, Big Daddy, I don't know. What do you go by? Pops. Hopefully not old man. I don't know. That's just mean.
Hey, stop it.
Dads, lead your family today by following Jesus. Don't just stand there. Okay? Don't just stand there. It's time to show our kids what true greatness looks like with our own lives through grace. By rejecting passivity, accepting responsibility, leading courageously, and investing eternally. All right, fathers, will you stand one more time? I'm going to ask you to do something here. I pray you were blessed by this sermon today. This was a sermon not to beat you up, not to make you feel less than, not at all. It's to remind you of your rightful place. To remind you of who you are and why you were created and your destiny. You're important. You're valuable. And this world needs you. Your family needs you. This world needs you. The people at work need you. This church needs you. The lost and the dying out there, they need you. And guess what? You can do it. You can do it. With all your insecurities, all the things that you think you're not, and all the things that you've been told, all the things that you beat yourself up about, but will never let anybody else know anything about that. You can do it. Greater is He that's in you than anything that's in this world. When you are weak, because you are, if you admit it or not, when you are weak, you are strong. You are strong and you can do it. Stand up, speak out, and do something. Amen? I'm going to ask you to do something as I pray and close. And because we like you a lot, because you're awesome, we're going to give you a gift when you leave. Hallelujah. But I want you to do something. Now, I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to pray in a moment, then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Because sometimes you just have to say something for your flesh to understand that there's a spirit in there that really should be in charge. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in just a moment, but I want to pray. Everybody else who's not a daddy, extend your hands to the dads one more time before we go. Father in heaven, we love you, and we thank you, and we worship you. Thank you for this word. May it encourage and strengthen us. May it remind us of who we are and what we are destined to be. I thank you for the men that are in here. I thank you for the fathers that are in here. I thank you that you are our example, Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us an example how to live life as the best man we could possibly be. I believe that today is going to be a day that for many fathers and many men in here, that they'll be changed for life. Maybe they just need a wake-up call. Man, I forgot who I was. I forgot how important I am. I forgot it was about His glory and not my next paycheck. I forgot that I have a rightful place in this family. I forgot that I have influence and love and compassion and grace that is in me. I forgot that I don't have to be like my earthly daddy was. I forgot that God is my example. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. All right, dads, if you want to repeat after me, this is up to you. Say it out loud. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Say it like a man. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now say it like something needs a shake off in your life. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. God, this is not for our glory, it's for your glory. May men step up in the rightful positions and place. How many things in this world would be changed if men stood up, men of God, in their rightful positions, with love and grace, with their mouth open, speaking up boldly to the things that are wrong, standing in the gap of the ones that are being mistreated and abused. How many things would take place if we'd realize self-sacrifice over self-pleasure? Teach us, God, to be men of God in what you called us to until the day we die, and may we pass down that inheritance to the next generation. We follow you, Jesus, as others follow us. And I pray that on the day that we die, if we're given the chance, may we look over our shoulder and see an army of people that followed us as we followed you. Worthy, God, worthy are you. Jesus, mighty name. Amen, amen. Will everybody stand, please? We're going to sing one more song before we go. We love you. Happy Father's Day. We believe in you.